Good morning. I've stuffed my talk into my Bible, so I'll just get it out. Right. So, fake news is the topic. Now, I know this won't apply to everybody, but for those people here this morning who do have Facebook accounts, then you probably have noticed the changes that Facebook has undergone over recent years. Whereas you used to log on to see what people were getting up to, or maybe have a nosy at some of your friends' holiday pics, nowadays our news feeds are swamped with clickbait. These are the advertisements and articles with sensational headlines or shocking pictures designed to catch our attention and achieve that all-important click, or more likely nowadays, a touch of the iPhone screen. My newsfeed often has things like comic strips about parenting, or videos showing how to make triple chocolate caramel cookie fudge cake, or, as earlier this week, the shocking news headline that Gordon Ramsay had died. Actually, don't worry, Gordon Ramsay hasn't died. It was an entirely fabricated headline, and I'm afraid I didn't read far enough to be able to give you any of the fabricated details, but that's really not the point. As long as the gossip seems interesting enough to get my attention, then the story has been a success. So just like any anglers out there will appreciate, the juicier and more tempting the bait on the hook, the more likely us fish are to take a nibble. So the notion of fake news is far from being a modern concept, but the term has become popularized by today's online world of Twitter, Facebook, and other social media that means any information that anyone chooses to share can be spread across the globe in a fraction of a second, regardless of whether or not it's true. Spreading news has never been easier. While some of the stories are only half fake or partly fake, others have no truth whatsoever. It's just their catchy headlines and juicy content that mean these stories have a wide audience. And who is this audience? Well, it's the person sitting to your left and sitting to your right and sitting on your chair too. So the main question I want to ask today is this: why are we so interested in fake news? I'm not talking about the topic in an abstract sense or about fake news in general. I'm talking about fake news as the gossip that we not only hear on a regular basis, but that we join in with as well. Sadly, each of us has this inner longing for gossip and shaming. As uncomfortable as it is to admit, we gain some sense of satisfaction in hearing about others' failures and mistakes, embarrassments and disappointments. And that's precisely why fake news is so successful. We want to hear these stories. We want to share these stories. I can hear Reuben giggling. We like hearing gossip. And in many ways, we just don't care about the truth anyway. So we're going to play another game in the spirit of the youth-led service. And this game is called Two Truths and a Lie. You may have played it at dinner parties or as an icebreaker or when you're in a youth group yourself. It's a very simple premise that I have chosen three people. And I'm going to show you three statements about them. Two of them are true, and one of them is a lie. So I'll start with Ryan, who didn't have much choice in whether or not he got to play. So statement number one, I got asked to leave my school choir for singing too enthusiastically. Statement number two, I once ate 4 quarter pounders in an eating competition. And statement number three, I have a fear of matches. So two of those are true, one of those is false. Have a little look and a read and decide, and I'm going to ask you to vote. So who thinks that A was the lie? Okay. Who thinks that B was the lie? And who thinks that C was the lie? Ryan, would you like to tell us? Yeah, it's a believable lie. Yeah, he did eat 4 quarter pounders until he threw up and was beaten by a girl. Is that right? Right, secondly, Rona Burfield. Here we go. How well do you know Rona? A, I've taken honeycomb from a hive with my bare hands. B, I was part of an unsuccessful cream tea eating world record attempt. C, I used to teach hockey and netball. All quite plausible. So who thinks that A was the lie? A few people who thinks that B was the lie? And who thinks that C was the lie? Oh, some for everybody. Rona, would you like to tell us? B was a lie. That was me. I was part of an unsuccessful cream tea eating world record. It was fun, but we didn't make it. And finally, Isaac Randall with two pinches. A, I used to be in an ultimate frisbee team. B, I raised over £300 for charity by busking with my penny whistle. And C, I was a ball boy at Wimbledon. Two of these are true. Who would have thought? So who thinks that the lie was A? Who thinks that the lie was B? And who thinks that the lie was C? Most people are going for C. Isaac, tell us. At Wembley. Oh, what's a ball boy at Wembley? What does a ball boy do? Oh, there were two lies then. Okay, but the ultimate frisbee was definitely true. Right. Wouldn't it be lovely, though? And that's the trouble. These lies are so nice to believe, and they're so fun to share, that it really is a temptation. So, of course, this game was just a bit of fun. But actually, when fake news stories are shared in the media, they can become reality, and they can have real-world consequences. So, for example, in 2003, Tony Blair made the decision to go to war in Iraq, based on intelligence at the time, which said that Iraq's president had weapons of mass destruction. Weapons that it turned out didn't exist. More recently, on December the 4th, a North Carolina man opened fire at a Washington pizzeria, which an online conspiracy theory purported to be the headquarters of a child sex ring run by Hillary Clinton. So these are two examples of the devastating consequences that spreading fake news can have. Fake news isn't a modern phenomenon, but actually it's centuries old. There are examples of it on every page of the history book. The names might be different. You can call it propaganda, political forgeries, or whatever you like, but they all have one thing in common. They all serve selfish ends. Nevertheless, the question remains, why are humans so gullible and so easily lured away? When it comes to the human condition, the most helpful mirror to see ourselves in a true light is the Bible. It doesn't tell us what we want to hear, it tells us what we need to hear, and it tells us the truth. So when it comes to fake news and why we love it, we don't have to look far. The first pages of the Bible are quite enough.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman,
"Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?"
The woman said to the serpent,
"We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die,"
the serpent said to the woman.
"For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil."
When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man,
"Where are you?"
He answered,
"I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid."
And he said,
Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?"
The man said,
"The woman you put me here with, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it."
Then the Lord God said to the woman,
"What is this you have done?"
And the woman said,
"The serpent deceived me, and I ate."
Thank you very much. So did you spot the fake news? You will be like God. In other words, you have the power to make your own decisions. Eve wanted to gain more wisdom and to become more like God, so she believed the lies that the serpent told her, and she ate the fruit. This is what the serpent, or the devil, promises us too. Do what I tell you and you will be free, or better, or more beautiful, or more intelligent, wealthier, cooler, stronger. And you could fill that in really with whatever it is that you want to be more like. And so we believe the advertisements that buying a certain car, a pair of jeans, or a new phone will somehow enhance our lives and allow us to belong to that group that we aspire to belong to. If we get filled with fake news and with gossip and with empty promises from politics to advertisement, it's because we want to believe it. We want to believe everything that tells us that we're great and that we're good and that the future is for us and that we will be gods. Not much really changed in the period covered by the Bible, and the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2,000 years ago, spoke words that today are as true as they obviously were in his day as well. He said, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them to hear a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Now, I know some people would be disappointed if I didn't throw a little bit of Greek in here. So the word translated here as itching is kanetho, and that word only appears here in the New Testament. The word means to rub or to tickle. So the image we have here is of that pleasure and gratification we get when we have a really irritating itch or a tickling sensation, and the desire that we have for it to be scratched. It's these desires that impel a person to believe whatever they want to believe, rather than the actual truth itself. When people have itching ears, they decide for themselves what's right or wrong, because itching ears are concerned with what feels good or comfortable, and not with the truth. After all, the truth is often uncomfortable. Paul's warning is that the church would one day contain those who only open their ears to those who would scratch their itch with the news they bring. And the Bible warns us again and again about sinning with the mouth, precisely because this is our human downfall. So where does this leave us? Without doubt, listening to false promises and sharing bad news is a difficult habit to break. It's addictive, not only because it's fun, but because so many of us are in denial about its presence in our lives. We tolerate it in ourselves and we tolerate it in others because we've all been guilty of it. But first and foremost, we need to own up to gossip as a serious sin, and we need to confess it to God. We like to justify it to ourselves by telling ourselves it's not a really bad sin. At least we're not murdering anybody, or at least it's not robbery. But we need to see the destructive power of our tongues and confess our sin to God. So Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Secondly, we need to ask God for help. In James 3:7-8, it says, "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." Luckily for us, the Bible offers a solution. So far, I've given you all a lot of bad news, all about fake news, and now for the good news. Despite our failures, God doesn't leave us alone in all of this. The good news is that we don't need to be like God, because he is our God and he cares for us. He is the truth, the light, and the way. He's the source and the fountain where our longings will be stilled, and not with fake messages that produce only more evil, but with the truth. Jesus died because he told the truth, which the people in his time didn't want to hear. But he didn't change his message to be more successful. He stuck to telling the truth. And the truth is that I need help to be truly happy and satisfied. We don't need a new car or a new phone. No, we need the truth about us, about God, and about his love for us. So if you'd like to, then please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, sorry for the times that we have listened to gossip. Sorry, Lord, that we join in with it. And Lord, forgive us that we have enjoyed joining in with it. Please, Lord, help us to control our tongues. Lord, help us to be aware of when we're hearing gossip. And help us to resist joining in. Help us to be strong, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we have the example of Jesus, that he is the truth. And thank you, Lord, that we have the good news of your gospel. Amen.